This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass. It is 11:32, 10 degrees, another few to go. Tass.
Thank you, Macca. Macca, we're going to speak with Lisa Townsend, who's going to speak to us about one of our very favourite topics, of course, Macca. We have spoken about this on numerous occasions and have had a number of people in the studio to talk about Victoria's very first medically supervised injecting room. Lisa very recently did say to the media that if it had not been for her ability to access the support available from the medically supervised injecting room, they'd either be dead or still in the throes of their addiction. Good morning to you, Lisa.
Good morning. Hi, Tess. Hi, Macca.
G'day. And look, I want to say, Lisa, the courage that you've shown in talking about this, but also addressing the reason that you know about the medically supervised injecting room is extraordinary, and I commend you for that. I actually wish that there'd been such a facility many years ago, because then my sister would still be with us. She wouldn't be dead.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No. Full credit to you. This is a really challenging issue for so many people, but they come from it from the perspective they actually don't understand what the addiction is like, and they don't understand how that affects you and how that impacts you. And then when you make the decision to get out of that, how do you do that?
And often stigmatise the
And stigmatise, yeah, like, you know, it's not easy. So sorry, Lisa.
No. By all means, I think it's your point of view is just as valid and as important. Why? The injecting room and the wraparound support services and the people that work there are so important, and we need more facilities like it.
So, Lisa, tell us your story. Tell us why you needed to use the supervised injecting room.
Well, okay. Well, I'm a 42-year-old proud mum of two teenagers. I was addicted to heroin for 20-plus years.
Wow.
I tried a lot of different, quite a long time. It wasn't 20-plus years straight. Like, I had, you know, times where I was off it, but I always found myself going back. I tried a lot of different rehab programs, home-based withdrawals, different in-house rehabilitation programs, but nothing really worked because they were taking me out of society, and they were dealing with the addiction. They weren't dealing with what was at the core of my addiction. I had undiagnosed mental health issues that, thankfully, in the last 3-4 years, I've been diagnosed and I've been able to work on and work through. And as a result, I'm now coming up to just over 3 years clean.
Lisa, thank you so much for sharing and being so honest with us and with our listeners this morning. So how did the medically supervised injecting room support you through that process? And what was it about that experience that actually got you over the line, so to speak? Lisa, are you there?
Sorry, you're there?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yeah, don't know what happened then.
No.
Well, I think the most important thing, like, I needed to learn to live in society. I needed to learn how to go about my day-to-day life, where I was living, where drugs are a real thing. I needed understanding. I needed to feel like I mattered and that I wasn't the no-hoper like that I'd been told I was, you know, by so many. The staff at the NSP and at the Melbourne Safe Injecting Room, they gave me back, like, my belief in myself, you know, my self-worth. And they encouraged me to pack all the stuff that I was carrying around that kept me going back, you know, that kept me turning back to that Band-Aid.
Yes.
I needed, like, that safe, non-judgmental environment where they could give me the tools to fight my addiction and go about life, you know, without taking me out of society.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yes, it's, I can hear the emotion, and again, I want to just acknowledge and thank you for being so generous with sharing your experience and your story this morning with ourselves and our listeners. And of course, you are on live radio, so I know there will be a lot of people out there who will also feel the way that I feel. So thank you again, Lisa, for being so honest. Yeah, thank you for being so honest. Lisa, do you think that there are – so you did say that, and you've said this through other media channels, that your engagement with the supervised injecting room actually helped you – saved your life. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, they gave me a warm, you know, a welcome environment. I could walk in no matter what time of the day, no matter what I needed help or support with. It was a warm, welcoming environment. You know, they saw me as a person, not the drug addict.
Yes.
You know, and they helped me, you know, to like I said, they gave me back my self-worth. They made me feel like I mattered. And even if I tripped up, you know, and I did use, it wasn't a failure. You know, it was another step in my recovery journey, and it may have been the last time I tripped up. So, yeah, I think that was the main thing that helped me get back on track.
Lisa, there's a lot of people who are opposed to medically supervised injecting rooms. What do you say to those people?
I think a lot of people think of the injecting room set up as like a drug hoard, somewhere where addicts just go and use and leave, you know, stoned or in whatever state they are. But the reality is once you've signed in, you're under the eye of nurses and other staff members that are on duty. They help make sure you're using a clean and safe manner, which I personally believe helps take pressure off emergency rooms, ambos and hospital admissions down the track.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And I think people would have believed that the injecting, I think they think it creates a place for addicts and dealers to do their things, like to do their thing without consequences. And I think the reality of it is drugs are out there. They're in the community, no matter where you live. And I know there's been a lot of negative press about North Richmond Community Health and the safe injecting room around there. But I think I just think the positives outweigh the negatives. The fact that there's so many people that struggle with addictions, a lot suffer in silence. So I think the more opportunity us addicts have to access support, access help that they need to function in a community where drugs are a thing. You just have to walk down the street and, you know, you'll see them. Like, it's not something that's going away soon.
And Lisa,
that's my...
Lisa, we're sort of at the pointy end of our time with you, but I wanted to ask you one question, one final question, if I may, and Macca may wish to make some comments later on too. But there is talk about setting up or a plan to set up a second supervised injecting room in Melbourne, in the CBD. And, of course, there are people who are working on that. There's a lot of debate about it, and there are people who are upset and others who are supportive. And we did see during the week the Salvation Army boss came out in support of us. But then there are other business groups who are really opposed to it. What would you say to the people who are going to make the decision about this going ahead or not? What's your message to them?
I guess I'd say to them, what if it was one of their loved ones who came to them and said, you know, they're an addict? Wouldn't they want to know that there would be help and support there for them no matter what their situation, no matter what their drug of choice, no matter who or what they are or how they got there? Wouldn't they want to know that they'd feel safe and supported while tackling the reason they've become addicts themselves? That's what I'd like to say to them, because I think I do. I think it's an issue that isn't going away anytime soon, and I think that us as a wider community, we need to do something to tackle it head on.
And let's deal with the evidence. I remember, Lisa, when we, many years ago now, when we spoke to Ken Lay, Chair of Ambulance Victoria, and actually current, still Chair, and Lieutenant Governor, when we asked him about this, and he was an ex-police commissioner, he said he had not seen any convincing argument not to do it. So yeah. He said he couldn't find any evidence or any convincing argument why we shouldn't try it, why we shouldn't give it a go. I think what you said in terms of, just for a moment, think if you had a family member or a close friend that had an addiction and that needed help and that, you know, they were at risk, not just from the drug, but how they administered it. You know, I admire that. That's a great way to put it.
Thank you. I just think it's super important.
Lisa, thank you so much for your time this morning, and thank you for so bravely joining us and telling us your story and sharing with us your experience. And can I just also finally say best wishes with your journey, and continue to enjoy being a proud mum and love your kids, and all the best.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time, and thanks for this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you. That was Lisa Townsend.
Good on you. Good on you, Lisa.
Yeah, describes herself as a 42-year-old mum of two teenagers who's been dealing with their addiction. Very proudly told us their story and their experience with the medically supervised injecting room.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.